by Rio Grande.
Culver City Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. Broadcast 174. Investigate an explosion and fire at 753 Overland Avenue. That's all.
Their hands outstretched as though to smother it. But as his fear-crazed eyes watch,
The flame reaches its destination. Range is a brief split second. Then... Residents for miles around, hearing the ground-shaking explosion rush from their homes, find the sky tinged with red as huge flames shoot hundreds of feet into the air above all the remains of the old barn. And in the fire station, an alarm bell informs Fire Chief Frank Wilson of the explosion, galvanizing to sudden action every available piece of fire equipment. Detective R.F. Lynch, accompanied by several officers from the Culver City Police Department.
They're making it, Chief. There's still explosion, Lynch. Less than 100 gallons of alcohol in there, stored in tanks. No plenty left.
Why, the victim was screaming in there, officer. Just after the explosion, I heard it.
You sure of that?
Yeah, I know the victim was screaming. There couldn't be any mistake about it. It was awful.
Not much chance of anybody being alive inside that furnace.
Well, looks like a clear space there. The fire hasn't reached yet.
Might be in if we hurry.
Come on, let's go.
Right. That tank that's burning.
Well, looks like a man, all right. Burned to a crisp.
This burning tank of alcohol's going to let go in a minute and spill all over him. Come on. We've got to get him.
You can't do it, Lynch. That place is all set to blow.
If you don't get that fellow out of there now, how am I supposed to know who he was? That alcohol will demolish him. Come on. One of you grab that rope there, and we'll see if we can drag him out.
Take
it. That tank starts spilling. Somebody yell and loud.
They're taking a big chance, Lynch.
Yeah, come on. Around his feet, and we can drag him from a safer distance.
It's getting too hot, Lynch.
Yeah. Now let's get out of here. Come on. Hurry. This is all right. Now give me a hand with this rope.
Yes.
Heave.
Hurry up, Lynch. That tank's coming down.
Yeah. I see it. Ah.
There he is.
Okay. Now, if we can carry him outside, we'll see what we got.
Practically nothing, if you ask me. You'll never get an identification of this one.
Save your breath, Ed, and give me a hand here.
Under the weight of the burned man, Lynch and his companion managed to reach the open air as the entire section of barn they were just in collapses into a shambles of burning wood. And once clear, a flashlight reveals the body to be so badly burned that there is apparently no single clue as to its identity.
I told you we were wasting our time in there. How are you going to find out who this fellow was when there's nothing left of him?
Well, frankly, I don't know. Hold that flash here while I look him over.
Okay.
Yeah. No chance of anybody recognizing him by his face, that's certain.
Yeah.
No clothing left. Hey, bring that flash down here a little closer, will you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got it.
What's up?
Huh. Looks like a tattoo mark here on the back of his arm. You see here where it isn't burnt?
Sure. What does it say?
Manila. C-I-1919.
Huh. That's a great help.
Better than nothing at all.
Maybe.
Hello, Lynch. What's going on here?
Oh, hello, Cecil. A little stir blew up. Made ashes out of it, Bert.
Yeah? I just got in on the train in time to hear the excitement. Go about here as fast as I could.
Well, I've been trying to get an identification on him, but so far, the only thing I've got is this tattoo mark.
Manila, P.I. 1919. Probably a sailor, a soldier.
What's the reason for wanting an identification so badly?
Mainly the fact that I'd like to get a line on the bunch who ran this jail. I've been trying to find it for months. Now that I have, the only person who might be able to tell me anything is Brent O'Chris.
Well, might as well call the wagon and take him into the morgue. Not much we can do out here till this fire's over.
Yeah. Wilson doesn't get it under control soon. There's not going to be enough left of it to bother looking through. Oh, well, come on. Let's phone for the wagon. I'm getting tired of this noise.
For several hours, Chief Wilson directs his department in an attempt to extinguish the alcohol-fed blaze. And finally, as the first rays of the morning sun announce a new day, the last flame gives way in its stubborn battle and subsides into a smoldering ruin. And at the morgue, Captain Lynch and Captain Cecil Trussell, head of the motorcycle division, mull over the burned body and make another vain attempt to find some bit of identification.
Well, this spot on his back looks as though there'd been more tattooing, Lynch.
Yeah, but what does it say?
That I couldn't tell you.
That's the trouble. That and the one bit of tattooing on his arm, which does us practically no good, there's absolutely nothing to go on.
How about fingerprints? Wonder if we could get anything there.
Well, no something new.
Can't hurt any. The cinch was stopped cold at this end.
That's just what I'm going to do. Give me that phone.
Thus, in response to Lynch's call, Captain Nuremberg of the Identification Bureau drives the hull of the city, pulls up in front of the morgue, and once inside, he meets Lynch as he tells.
Ah, not much to go on, is there?
Not much.
Now, let me see these fingers. No chance of a print.
Yeah, that's what we figured.
There's one small chance, though, that we can try. Something I've never done before.
What's that?
Attempt to restore the skin of the fingers to normal by soaking them in alcohol and powdering them.
Think it might work?
I can't say definitely. I know that it's just possible. But it will be experimental completely.
Well, for me, I say let's try it. If it works, we're ahead. If it doesn't, what do we lose?
Accordingly, with all arrangements made, Nuremberg returns to his laboratory to make preparations for the experiment. While Cicel, accompanied by Police Judge Randall, drives to the burn track, begins an investigation.
Well, looks like this is where Helen lives.
Yeah, that old iron bed there. Probably a sort of general hangout living quarters for that poor fellow that got burned and rested again.
What's all this junk over here?
I don't know.
Look, well, I could have left the chest of drawers or something.
Well, the only thing that didn't burn.
Yeah.
You think you'll get anywhere with that fingerprint idea, Cecil?
Oh, I don't know, Judge. A chance. Nick is pretty enthusiastic over it.
More power to him. Without the slimmest lead I've ever heard of.
Uh-huh. Hello. What's this?
You find something?
I don't know. Looks like an old watch. Yeah. But it is.
Anything in it?
Oh, some papers. Let me see. It's an old speed ticket. Only wait a minute. It's not so old. Made out on December 8th.
Well, the day before yesterday.
Yeah. See if I can make out the name on it. Harry A. Howard. Harry A. Howard. Well, you remember that name, don't you, Judge?
Yeah. Hey, wasn't he the fellow we had up for bootlegging a couple of times?
Right. Lynch and I have been trying to connect him with some big-time steal for a long time. And it looks like we were right. Let's see what we got here.
Hereby ordered to appear in Harrisburg.
Yeah, and here's the officer's name who gave it. Say, I've got an idea that this little ticket is going to make a lot of difference in this case, Judge.
And a quick check with the Los Angeles traffic officer proves conclusively that the Howard on the traffic ticket and the Howard Cecil knows are one and the same man. With this knowledge, Cecil hurries back to Culver City and informs Lynch his discovery. Then the two officers settle down to await the arrival of Nuremberg and the start of their identification experiment. And at 10 the next morning, after a sleepless night, they reach the fingerprint expert and hurry to the morgue.
How are you going about this thing, Nuremberg? Well, the first thing we've got to do is strip the skin from the fingertips. And we've got to be careful doing it, too. That's the first place we can go wrong.
What do we do with it when we get it?
Soak it in alcohol for 3 days. That should restore it to a fair degree of normality, at least enough to powder. Then, if everything goes well, we photograph the results and get a set of fingerprints. Of course, the odds are that we won't get anything, but there's that one chance.
I've got a hunch it'll work, Nuremberg. A strong hunch. And so far, my hunches have been 100% right. Come on, let's get started.
So, throughout the morning, Nuremberg works like some skilled surgeon, carefully removing the tarred skin from the pig's fingertips, delicately placing them in a container of alcohol to soak. It is a nerve-stretching task, and when, shortly after noon, Nuremberg straightens up from his work, pronounces the first step of the experiment finished, both to sell and Lynch with a long, suppressed sigh of relief. So far, so good. And now, with 3 long days to wait, Lynch and Cecil pick up the former thread of evidence. Start a man hunt for the man behind the still, Harry A. Howard. But first, they make another search of the burned still. Discovered a metal waste paper container buried under a pile of charred embers. In it, they find several scraps of torn paper.
Rid of some love letters or something.
Yeah, only these scraps aren't letters. Look more like receipts. Look more like receipts. Look more like receipts. Look more like receipts. We're on the right track. Now all we've got to do is to find Howard and pin it on. He won't have a leg to stand.
bootlegger, Harry Howard, isn't as easy as it seems. For 2 days, the men track down all his known haunts, find the same answer. Howard has not been seen for some time. Several friends of his are brought in, questioned, but each one denies any knowledge of Howard's whereabouts. And by the morning of the third day, Lynch and Trussell begin to realize that things are not just what they might be. And now the search for Howard is put aside for the continuation of Nuremberg's experiment. In his laboratory in Los Angeles, Lynch and Trussell watch anxiously as the scientist begins the second step, that of powdering the now thoroughly soaked fingertips.
You see here how the skin has turned white, resumed its appearance of human skin rather than parchment.
Yeah, you can tell what it is, all right.
Now, the next thing is to make the tiny indentations or lines stand out. You see, unlike the usual method of fingerprinting, that is, rolling the fingers in ink and then getting an impression from pressure on a pad, we've got to photograph these tiny pieces. Naturally, the way they are, there's no contrast. Everything looks white. So we take this dark powder preparation, so, and dust it into the crevices. Then we blow off the excess. And there you see a perfect fingertip.
By George, Nuremberg, you've got something there.
I hope so.
Well, what now?
Photograph? That's right. This lens is specially constructed to take sharp close-up pictures of small objects. Now, I'm going to set this glove-like fingertip on the end of this pencil. So, and set it up here with this light on it. Like this.
You mean you're going to have to set each one up like that and take a picture?
That's right. Slow, but if it works, sure.
Thus, for a space of time that seemed endless, the patient Nuremberg photographed each of the five tips of one hand, repeat with the five from the other. And at last, after 2 hours of careful work, the plates were sent to be developed and printed. Impatient for the results, Lynch and Trussell go with them. Watch quietly as the negatives are developed. Wait eagerly as the first carbon prints begin to trace a pattern on the white sheet of photographic paper.
Look, Cecil. There's something coming up.
Yeah, tiny little circular line. Fingerprints. Why, it's almost unbelievable, then, that anyone could start with what Nuremberg had and finish with this. A perfect set of prints.
Now that we've got them, they might be useless.
That's right. Only somehow I have a feeling...
Yeah. So right.
Well, there you are, Lieutenant. A perfect set. Clean as a whistle.
How long do we have to wait now?
Oh, about 5 minutes, just till they get a hypobath to fix them. Then they're all yours.
Perfect. Only if you could make that 4 minutes, I'd appreciate it. My nerves are at the point now with one extra minute, and I think they'll bust.
Okay, Lieutenant. I'll see what I can do. Can't have any busted nerves lying around here. No room for them in a dark room.
In the allotted time, Lynch and Trussell find themselves in possession of the long-awaited print. Immediately, they start the first move towards an identification, that of checking with the files from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Fingerprint Bureau. Also, a copy of the print with a description of the tattoo marks found on the dead man's arm is sent to the War Department with a request for information regarding things. And in a short time, their search for the files comes to an abrupt end as a card bearing the name James C. Duane. An identical scent, set of fingerprints comes to light. Every classification is identical. Under the name, there is a line which reads, held for San Francisco police in connection with diamond theft. Obviously, the dead man is no other than one James C. Duane, ex-diamond thief. Then, 2 days later, word comes from the War Department via teletype.
Regarding your request for information, fingerprints and general description, that of one Dennis James Curtis, enlisted in the United States Navy from San Francisco, April 16th, 1919. Discharged May 1920 for dance conduct. Home address given as 3420 San Jose Avenue, Alameda, California. Respectfully, George A. Holmes, Commander in Charge of Naval Personnel, Washington, D.C.
And in response to a telegram, Duane, alias Curtis's father, makes the trip down from Alameda, identifies his son's remains, and puts an end once and for all to all speculation as to his identity. And Lynch and Trussell begin a minute search for the missing Howard. But this time, as before, their efforts are blocked at every turn. No one knows where Howard is. No one knows anything about his connection with the burned still. No one apparently knows anything. And at last, after 2 months of constant seeking, the officers conclude that their man has left town for good. Relax in their search. Then one day, Lynch receives a call from a constable he knows. A call asking his assistance in staking out a house in the West Adams district in order to catch a man wanted on a theft charge. Accordingly, Lynch drives over and meets the constable. Casually, he looks over the arrest warrant, then suddenly stiffens to attention.
Hey, is this the fellow you're going after?
Yeah, why?
Harry Albert.
Harry Howard's brother-in-law.
Who's Harry Howard?
A gent Trishell and I have been looking for months. He's the lad behind one of the biggest steel outfits in town. I've got a warrant for his arrest right in my pocket. Been carrying it there just in case I happen to run into him sometime.
Hey, what's this Albert's got to do with him?
He's mixed up with him and a couple of bootlegging raps we nabbed Howard on. Claims to be his brother-in-law.
Nice family. Albert's is one for all of us in Los Angeles.
Well, let's get out to this house. I'd like to give it the warrant over and see if I can get a lead as to where Howard is. That's one person I'm anxious to get my hands on.
Probably won't find anything. People like this aren't apt to leave their calling cards lying around. However, I still want Albert, so let's go.
Once at the house, Constable Jennings and Lynch, finding no one home, make a quick search. Find in a drawer in the bedroom something that pleases Lynch immensely.
This has got it. Just the thing I've been looking for.
What's that?
This letter here from Harry Howard with a return address in Ontario, California. And I thought he was smart. Come on, Jennings. We're going to take a fast tour to Ontario.
What, now?
You bet your life now. I'm not wasting any time. 2 months I've spent looking in every alley, hot shop, pool hall, and bootlegging joint. And now it looks as though maybe I found him. Come on, next stop, Ontario.
Not wanting to waste the time necessary to return to Culver City and locate Trussell, Lynch and his companion, Constable Jennings, start a mad drive to the foothill town of Ontario. Mile after mile, they drive at breakneck speed. And inside of 30 minutes, they pull to a grinding stop in front of the Ontario police station. A brief stop there, long enough to enlist the aid of a local officer, and they resume the journey. This time, stopping down the street from a small white house, bearing the address found on the letter. Quietly, Lynch makes the plan. Issues instructions.
Now, there's no way of telling how many we're going to find in there. But the way I've got it figured, if we surprise them, we'll have a good chance of grabbing them before they know what's happened.
Well, sounds logical, no?
Jennings, suppose you take the west side of the house.
Right.
You the back door. I'll go in the front way.
Right.
Can you hear me inside? You come in through the back door fast. They start out first, nail them. Don't let anyone get away until we know who we have. Understand?
Perfect.
Okay, and be careful. I don't know much about this, Howard, lad. But I understand he carries a gun. And he isn't particular who he uses it on. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm not anxious to get filled with lead.
Okay, then. Let's go.
Slowly, quietly, the three men approach the little white house. Wordlessly, Jennings takes his position at the side, under the windows. The Ontario officer at the back door. Then, with all in readiness, Lynch eases up the front steps onto the porch. Quietly tries the door, finds it locked. A moment's hesitation, then his mind made up, Lieutenant Lynch goes into 215-pound action.
Get it, Harry, it's the law.
Here we are, all of it. The house is around.
It's safe, you couple.
Round up these people, Jennings.
I'm going after Howard.
All of you, keep away from those shotguns, you'll get hurt.
Come on,
keep away
from those shotguns. Come out of that room, Howard.
All right, I will. All right, Howard, drop that gun.
I'm not.
I said drop that gun.
Lay off me, you big fat. We're not playing games.
I will.
Lay off on you.
You ready to go with me now,
Howard? I haven't got anything on me.
No? Well, take a look at this warrant. I've been carrying it for about 2 months now, just waiting for this moment. We know all about you. Got your autograph on a couple of pieces of paper that are good for about 10 or 15 years in the pen. What do you think of that?
I think you're nuts.
That's all right, too. Only think this over. We know you're the gent behind the still that blew up. We know that because we found your signature all over those tail slips.
I thought if we can find it.
Come on, Howard. That did it. Let you and I talk it over on the way back to jail.
All right. I'll talk. And I'll tell you some things that'll surprise you, too. Things that'll surprise you plenty.
Harry Howard gets off all the way back to Culver City, where he was lodged in jail on charges of operating a still. But when he finished, the only thing he had done was to put himself behind bars for some time to come. Thus, through the combination of the elements of chance, patience, and science, what might have turned out to be an unsolved case ended with the criminal in jail and our records marked solved.
Thank you, Lieutenant Lynn. Rio Grande Cracked is known as the gasoline of police car performance in the emergency equipment of the second largest county in the United States, Coconina County, Arizona. The largest city in the West, Los Angeles. Oakland, Berkeley, Marysville, Fresno, Santa Barbara, Pasadena, Monterey Park, San Diego, Santa Barbara County, Orange County, San Diego County, Las Vegas, Nevada, Phoenix, Arizona, Maricopa County, Arizona, and many, many other cities and counties. Wherever you buy Rio Grande cracked gasoline, you can buy Sinclair motor oil, refined from the highest price and oldest Pennsylvania and mid-continent crude oil. They're de-waxed, de-jellied, super refined, and made available to you at all Rio Grande stations in tamper-proof cans. Whenever you buy Rio Grande cracked gasoline, get your copy of Calling All Cars News. You'll enjoy the featured article, pictures of wanted criminals with rewards up to $10,000. Get police car performance with Rio Grande cracked gasoline and Sinclair motor oils at your independent Rio Grande dealer tomorrow.
Lindsay, bidding you good night for Rio Grande.